Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, October 2nd, 8:08 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Willie Little from Mission of Christ Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good morning, Pastor Little.
Good morning to everyone.
How are you this
morning? What a blessed day we have.
It is.
To worship and also serve our Lord. The text today in relationship to judging others. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Mission of Christ Lutheran Church. We are a small congregation in Milwaukee, primarily African-American. Average worship attendance is close to 100 people each Sunday, with a lot of young children. Our focus point, we have Bible studies on Sunday morning, and we also have Bible study on Wednesday evening. We also have a worship service on Thursday evening. We've spent a significant amount of time with our children. We have a Sunday school program that is really, really wonderful and growing. But we also have a special ministry, and it is a ministry that focuses on, at this point, it's primarily young men who have been incarcerated and returned to the community. And some of them are referred to us through the Free at Last ministry that we offer. So they spend two days a week, they spend some time in Bible study and some discussion groups with people from the community as well as from church. That's being led by Pastor Akani, who works with them and also works with the House of Correction to offer some ministry and offer some support system for these young men. It's a growing ministry, very vibrant in the community and well-known, and we're just happy to be a part of that. But Mission of Christ is a diverse congregation, primarily, again, within a neighborhood where the economic situation is depressive. And a lot of people who are out unemployed, But nevertheless, we seem to be going for quite a while. We've been at it for a while, and we're surviving, and we're doing well. We're blessed by the Lord. But that's Mission of Christ. That's who we are, and we're doing okay.
Well, good. Glad that you are there doing God's work in Milwaukee. Today we're studying Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Anything you'd like for us to know about Matthew or chapter 7 before we dig in?
Well, I think the critical piece is just a look at who Jesus is directing his comments to initially. And in addition to that, the context within which he's discussing it. And I guess it certainly raises a series of questions about it, because it's rather interesting how he puts it in terms of judging. And so I guess those are key points that I'd like to focus in on is being how he's directing it to, who is directing it to, and the context of what he's discussing it, and how that then relates to us today in relationship to us and looking at one another. I like to focus significant attention on all of it, and in relationship to Jesus' comments, a new command I give to you, and that is to love one another. So love then conquers all of this in relationship to what Jesus is discussing.
Very good. We're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Beginning at verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
The question I would be raising would be, are we in a position to remove that log from our eyes? According to what we teach in our church, we are by nature sinful and unclean. And we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we've done and what we've not done. And we have not loved our neighbors ourselves. So there's a great deal of, in terms of focus at this point, on then how can we remove that log from our eyes? What do we do to do that? Is that confession? We confess our sins, saying that we have that log. Lord, have us remove that log and have the Spirit working through the means of grace to do that. So that certainly raises a big question in relationship to what Jesus just talked about. Is, are we in a position to remove that log from our eyes, as Jesus says? Can we do that? That becomes a question. Are we alone? Can we remove it? That's a major question for us today. And today it's more prevalent, and perhaps even in Jesus' time, we see evidence all around where this is clearly there, a log there. And the question is, can we remove that? Initially, I began my discussion about it in relationship to two contexts. One is who Jesus is speaking to, and secondly, the context within he's speaking in. So again, the question becomes one, are we in a position, can we really remove, are we able to do that ourselves, to remove that log? We plead for God's mercy and His Spirit's work in our lives to make it happen. That would be my thinking around it. I would just ask if there are some of the call-in or a discussion point around that issue itself.
Let's look at verses 1 and 2 more closely. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
The judging becomes a question. Again, as I mentioned just a minute ago, judging others. We live in a world, as I mentioned before, that we are prone to do that. By our nature, we are prone to judge others. The question becomes, how do we prevent ourselves from doing that? Can we really prevent ourselves from judging others? We try hard to do that. We try hard not to. And we pray the Spirit then will move our hearts not to judge others, as been noted. So the major question, Andy, it would be, can we prevent ourselves from judging others? Are we in a position to do that? I have a major question. So we have been judged. We are going to be judged. And I am rambling along in relationship to it. But it does come back to our ability or inability to be able to prevent ourselves from sin. Can we prevent, and are we in a position to say, I know I can't do that. I know I'm in a position, and I'm strong enough physically, I'm strong enough spiritually, not to judge someone else. The level, the nature, and extent to which we're able to do that is the Spirit's work in our lives, and then we pray the Spirit will come. And we pray the Spirit come, Holy Spirit come, that He will help us not judge one another, help us have a clean heart, and when we do judge, that we'll ask for God's forgiveness, and that He will strengthen us not to judge others any further. Now, I don't know what I can say other than that part at this point. Judging others is a tough question. Because we are by nature, in a sense, in a by nature, judges, and by nature we're going to be judged. So we plead for forgiveness, and we plead for the Spirit working our lives to help us not judge one another. And
why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? What is it about our human nature that allows us to look past the log, our own sin? What is it that allows us to look past our own sin and see our brother's sin?
Because we don't look at ourselves in that same critical way. If we start by looking at ourselves, and we pray God will give us the vision and wisdom to be able to do that, to look at ourselves and not look at others, which is tough. It's very difficult and a challenge in this life. And I'm not, I want to focus a lot of attention this morning in relationship to this on the nature and extent of our sin and the need for forgiveness of sins and the cleansing power of God through the means of grace, of His word and sacrament, to help us, to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to strengthen us so that we can move forward and not judge others. We don't see the log in our eyes. We pray that the Spirit and God will help us through the means of grace to do that, that we see that we begin to look inward, and that we begin to look at ourselves as opposed to looking at others.
You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How is it then that we take the log out of our own eye? How is it that we could even do that?
The question is related to what I've been discussing, and that is we ask for God's help through the means of grace to give us the wisdom and the strength, the spiritual strength, to be able to see the log in our own eyes. And that comes through a number of ways. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to give a message to children around the theme, We Teach Truth. And within the context of that, my focus was on we teach truth and we listen to truth. But it all drove me back to word and sacrament. And that is that the Spirit of the Lord moves us to worship. It moves us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, our faith is strengthened by that. The Spirit of the Lord then moves us to, it compels us to study the Word. And as we reflect and meditate on the Word and listen to the Word, and we then grow, the Word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path in this life, and we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior, then the Spirit of the Lord also then helps us to, He moves us and move our hearts and minds through the means of grace that we may worship the Father in spirit and in truth, as I noted. But then they also then, the Spirit of the Lord helps us see that we stand in grace. We stand in mercy, in the promise of grace for Christ's sake through faith. And faith, then, we know that comes by hearing the Word. So within the context of all of this, it comes back to the Spirit working our lives, because then the Spirit of the Lord moves our hearts and minds to fellowship with one another. And that is where we come together in the name and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we care for one another, trust one another, depend upon one another, watch out for one another, and we look at that speck in our own eyes, and we begin not to judge others, but to also work, see others, see the strength in others as well. But it comes through the Spirit working in our hearts and our minds, and it then goes back to Jesus' new command, that we love one another, the new command, focusing on that, and having the Spirit then strengthen us through the means of grace at His Word and Sacrament, that we may trust God's Word and believe His promise, that we then will see the speck in our eyes and then the log in our eyes. And then we can share with others. We have an obligation. I'll be giving a message soon to talk about an obligation that we have. Jesus says we should be in a position, God says that we should be in a position to always give answer to the hope that's in us. And a part of that then is being in a position to do so. And from that, then it comes down to serving God by serving others, and the Spirit of the Lord then moving our hearts and minds that we may serve God by serving others, using the gifts and talents that He's given us to serve Him by serving others. And the last part of that then focuses on our ability to be able to bear witness for Christ. And witnesses for Christ and that is the witness to the awesome transforming, and I mentioned this very carefully, transforming, awesome transforming power of God's love and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So it comes back to those two points, his love for us and the forgiveness that he promises in Christ Jesus. So we plead and we hasten to his throne of grace, where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, as we pray the Spirit of the Lord will help us then bear witness to the truth, if you will, to bear witness to God's love and forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So coming back to the catalog, it's all centered around just what I just talked about. It all occurred with the Spirit of the Lord working in our hearts. So we see this log in our eyes, because God helps us through the means of grace and his word, and studying his word and receiving his sacraments through baptism, and also through the means of grace and humbling ourselves at the Holy Supper, we receive his true body and blood of Christ that strengthens us to be able to see God's will for our lives.
Verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. What is our Lord saying here in this? Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you.
Well, it all comes back to the gospel. And we there are people in our world who reject the gospel. And we see evidence of that all the time. I guess it goes back to it far away. We go forward then to John 28 to 38. And Jesus' conversation with Pontius Pilate. And in his conversation, Jesus is asked a series of questions in relationship to the issue of truth. As if I, who is the Lord? Who are you? He's asking, and he's asking a question in relationship to the people around him, the chief priests and the elders, who identify Jesus as who he is. They ask Jesus, "Is he a king?" And then he asks Jesus a series of other questions. But it comes back to one of the last or final question which Jesus does not answer, and that is he asks Jesus, "What is truth?" So my comment to in relationship to this is, then how will we respond to giving God's gift of mercy and grace through the means of grace to those who do not believe? We have an obligation to share the gospel in our world, as Jesus commands that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 8, and also in Luke 24, and we go on and on and on. John, all the gospels say that Jesus commands us to share the gospel with them. So it comes down to, in my estimation, Jesus discussing is sharing the gospel, and sharing that gospel with those who need to hear the word of God. And God's word then is a lamp. God's word then, through this means of grace, strengthens and sustains those who hear the word. The question becomes one of them receiving the word. As with Pontius Pilate, this Pontius Pilate is asking a question, and the question becomes one of, did he really truly understand what Jesus is telling him or not? Jesus finally, and ultimately, stop even talking with them about it, because Pilate wasn't listening to what he was saying. Now, that conflicts with what we, in a way, because it talks about the Spirit's work with us. And I had an interesting conversation yesterday in relationship to it. Are we talking about the gospel? Is Jesus talking about sharing the gospel? Is he talking about sharing the good news of God in Christ Jesus with the world? That becomes a major question to me as I looked at this text. And he's asked us to share the good news in our world. Is that the question that you have, or are we in the position to do that? And we are. And we should.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Willie Little from Mission of Christ Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We are in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. If you have a question, or 1 through 12, if you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, KFUO at KFUO.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit LCEF.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
On the next Long Gospel, which is Ruminations Thursday, with the help of Pastor Wes Reimnitz, we will be responding to emails that we have received at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. If you've got a question, write to us.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, October 2nd. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Willie Little from Mission of Christ Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Let's take a look now at verses 7 and following. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask and it will be given to you, he says. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Pastor, your thoughts?
Prayer. Yes, we must be engaged in deep prayer. And we pray God will continue to help us, to teach us how to pray. How to pray, what we should be asking for, and that becomes a critical piece. And then we hasten, as we talk, hasten to his throne of grace, where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And that we teach. It's a very, very important teaching. We find grace to help. So we rely, we humble ourselves before God in prayer, in deep prayer. And with us in the promise of grace for Christ's sake. And it comes by faith. So what we're describing and what is being described here is that we should be asking God for, and he promised to provide for our needs and respond to our prayers. The complication I think that we have in life is that we somehow expect God to answer our prayers immediately at times. And there are times we answer in his own way, in his own time. But our expectation through our observation in relationship to this text at this moment is related to prayer and of God's grace to help that he will provide for our needs. So and ultimately, we begin our messages, and we begin our worship with prayer. Throughout the worship life that we have, we pray. And God asks us to humble himself, and which we do. So we plead for his mercy and ask for his help with God's promise of grace and mercy for Christ's sake. And we come back through faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing the word and listening to the word and meditating on the word and reflecting on the word. And the Spirit of the Lord, and through those, through the Word and Sacrament, strengthens and sustains our faith. And the true belief that God will then respond to our prayers and answer our prayers and provide for our needs, both spiritual and temporal, in this life.
For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?
This is what we ask for. What are we asking for in this life? There's so many desperate needs around us. You look at our nation and our world today. It's been, and this is not new, it's not new, the kind of the complications and the challenges that we face as a nation, as a country, as a world. It simply goes back to our beginning of our worship service, and that is where we confess and God's promise of forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we plead for his mercy, knowing that we are by nature sinful and unclean, within the God's promise of forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then we also have the wonderful privilege of making a statement of who we are and what we believe individually, not what you believe, what I believe, and within the context of the Apostles' Creeds and the Nicene Creed and Athanasian Creed, we make a statement. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in his Son, Jesus. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. But a triune God's work is evident in all of this. And we pray that the Spirit of the Lord then will move our hearts to receive his grace.
So, let's go back to verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. Verse 11, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will God give good things to those who ask him? If we who are imperfect and evil, if we who are imperfect and evil will give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give these good gifts?
Well, that comes back to prayer and God's grace and mercy toward us, mm-hmm, as his children by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate question. This particular text is focusing on prayer and focusing on God's grace and mercy toward us. God gives us immensely in this life, and we ask to share the gifts that he's given to us with others. And in this particular case, is sharing the gifts of God's grace and mercy with those around us. The promise, the critical piece becomes one of looking at it in a holistic way. It's looking at God's love for us as his children, and he asks us then to share that love. A new command I give you, love one another. Love one another. People would know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we know that love comes by faith and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So within the context of this particular passage of Scripture, it comes back to God's love of us and our love of one another. And we plead for God's grace and mercy through prayer and through the Word and Sacrament, to be able to, the Holy Spirit working through the wings of grace, to strengthen our faith to truly believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior through the Spirit's work.
Very good. Let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. What's your question this morning, Mike?
I forgot. I know you said something about where, you know, don't throw your pearls before swine, mm-hmm, or otherwise they'll trample them and then, like, attack you. I forgot what the last part was about the dog, but do you think this could mean that new ideas just don't work in old institutions? And the old institution, of course, would be Judaism that he'd be referring to, maybe?
Well, that's what I began my discussion about in relationship to this. Who is Jesus speaking to? Is he speaking to us today at the time he was speaking? Now, is he speaking to us today in his word? Yes, he's speaking to us in his word. And we have to then, through the Spirit, through the Word and Sacrament, grow strong enough to be able to understand significantly what Jesus is talking about. And that's a very, very tough passage of Scripture to grab onto. Who is it, Jesus? Who is Jesus speaking to? Is he speaking to us? Is he speaking to us individually? Is he speaking to us as a church body? Is he speaking to us as all people? And so the question becomes one of, who is he directing it to? And the context within which he's directing it to. That's a major question for me, at least. Even a pastor, this is a tough passage of Scripture to deal with in terms of judging others.
Thanks for your call, Mike. And one more call. Let's go to Marilyn in Granite City, Illinois. Good morning, Marilyn.
Well, good morning to both of you. And thank you, KFUO, all your staff. I really have a problem on this judge, not to judge others, and others meaning, well, and you did mention, Pastor, about the problems in the world today, but I'm even on local problems and even conflict within my own area, my own family. And it is so difficult to, and I know we're all sinners, and I know we're nothing more than dirty rags, but I don't know how to keep those thoughts from my mind about some of the evil that's going on out there and those people that are obviously being, or in my mind, being led by the devil. If you'd expand on that a little, I'd sure appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your call, Marilyn.
The key becomes one of prayer and pleading for mercy and humbling ourselves before God and acknowledging, making it very clear who we are, what we are. And we're by sinful. We're by nature sinful and unclean. And we will sin before God and sin before others. Then what we do is we plead for his mercy and we plead for his grace at his throne of grace, and that is humbling ourselves with God's promise then. God's promise to forgive our sins and strengthen us to do better and strengthen our relationship with ourselves and with our relationship with others around us. That is such a beautiful, beautiful. We have to trust God's word and believe his promise. And that's his promise. None of us, I don't care who we are in this life, live a perfect life. We have, as you've mentioned, the call is mentioning now, we have struggles and challenges. And where do we take them to? As believers, we take them to humble ourselves before God in prayer, asking for his, pleading for his grace and mercy, and his promise of grace for Christ's sake through faith. That's the answer to you. I just believe that's the answer to your question. And we promise, God promises to help, promises help in our time of need. Not to abandon us, not to leave us. I'm with you always, he says, and never leave you or forsake you. What a promise. And we lean on God's promise.
Let's take a look at verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Pastor, with just less than a minute, let's take a look at this and give us your thoughts with just under a minute here.
Can I go back? I'd like to go back then and conclude our discussion around what Jesus' new command. It didn't abolish the old commands, but it made it clear, a new command I give to you. Speaking to his disciples, speaking to those who've been called to faith through the proclamation of the gospel and have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection to new life. And in that new life, then, in that new life, praise our God. We have the wonderful privilege and opportunity to be able to say, yes, Lord, yes. Fill my heart with your love through prayer, through the means of grace, as word and sacrament. That I then may love my brother as you have loved me. And then we can share and take that same love into our community. So in closing, I urge our listeners to focus on that passage of Scripture from Jesus. A command, not an old command, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. People will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we know them. So all of the discussion regarding judging, that love comes by forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And we plead to him, and we humble ourselves before his throne of grace and his promise of forgiveness of sins, of his love and forgiveness of us, and our love and forgiveness of one another. That's what's so desperately needed in our world, in our community today.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading, Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 12 today with Pastor Willie Little from Mission of Christ Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Pastor Little, thank you so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study this text in Matthew.
Welcome and blessing on your day.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Mission of Christ in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our last conversation with Pastor Parviz on the church calendar before the incarnation. Hope you can stick around for that, listeners, and hear about Shavuot right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.